thing for you. If you're here tonight and you're searching or hunting something, it'll make you really happy. I've got a word for you this evening. And title of the message is, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Whatever's wrong, he got the answer for. He is the answer for. Here in John chapter 6, just look at 1 verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, that's John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. According to that verse right there, Jesus Christ said, if you'll come to Him, you'll never have to hunger for any kind of satisfaction or peace. He's the bread of life. He wasn't talking about physical hunger. He wasn't saying there, if you get saved, you won't never have to eat again. That's not what He's talking about. We all know, if that's true, none of us are saved. Because we stay hungry. But He was talking about hungering for satisfaction, for fulfillment in life. I found out through the years that whatever you need, He is. There's an empty spot on the inside of everybody. That's why few people are really content. I'd be going to Asheville, and I'd pick up somebody hitchhiking on the side of the road, and they'd say, I'd say, where are you going? They'd say, man, I'm leaving here. I'm getting out of this hick town of Marion, North Carolina. Ain't nothing to do around here. Where are you going? I'm going to California. I'm going to where they grow the good stuff, man. I'm going to go out there and live it up, and I'm going to party, and I'm going to do your will. As a little note said, five got saved in the first service at the prison. Amen. I tell you what, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to California, and I'm going to live it up and be a beach boy and get me a cottage right there on the side of the ocean. Man, I'm going to live it up. That's on the way to Asheville. On the way back from Asheville, I pick up Hitchhiker. I said, where are you from? I'm in California. Where are you going? I'm going back to nature, man. Them people in California are crazy. It's a rat race out there. I'm going to live it up out here. And you people got it made here in these mountains of North Carolina. And the people out there is wanting to come here, and the people here is wanting to come there. People here is wanting to go to Florida. And guess where the people in Florida want to go? The mountains. Guess what? They're hunting for something that ain't here or there. You're hunting for something. When a man puts alcohol to his lips or anything else, he's hunting for something. He's looking for something. He's looking for something that'll fill that emptiness inside. I got news for you. Money won't do it. Money will not do it. You could have this room full of money. Now you say, well, I'd sure like to give it a try. All you got to do is look at the testimony of history. The testimony of history says money won't satisfy you. Money has a way of getting a hold on you and not satisfying you. Money, you spend half your life getting money. You spend the other half trying to keep people from getting it away from you. It riches make themselves wings. Money talks. They say money talks. And it does. It says bye-bye as soon as you get a hold of it. But they say money talks, but you can't hold it long enough to carry on a conversation. You can't take it with you. I heard about a fellow one time who was holding on to his money, and he was laying on his deathbed, and he wouldn't put his money in the bank because he's afraid his relatives would get it. And he's standing there holding on to his money like this, and he laid there on his deathbed dying with his hand around a bunch of $20 bills like that, and laid there and died with that money in his hand. When he got through, his nephew and just come around and just picked it right out of his hand. And that old boy found out what the major rich people in the world find out. In 1923, the great financial tycoons of the world met in Chicago. Charles Schwab, who was the president of the steel company, met with them. Richard Whitney, who was the president at that time of the New York Stock Exchange. Albert Fall, who was on the president's cabinet. Jesse Livermore of Wall Street. Leon Frazier, who was a bank president. Ivor Kruger. You know what happened to them men? Somebody checked on them a few years later. They found out that Charles Schwab, the president of the steel company, died broke. Richard Whitney, the president of New York Stock Exchange, wound up getting in trouble and wound up in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall of the president's cabinet wound up in prison. Jesse Livermore committed suicide. Leon Frazier committed suicide. Ivor Kruger committed suicide. You know what every one of those men found out? They found out the more money you get, the bigger the hole gets inside of you that Jesus Christ only can fill up. I don't think it's a sin to have money. If you got some money, hallelujah, great, more power to you. But it won't satisfy you. It will not satisfy you. You know why people want money? Because if you got money, you can buy things. And people think things will make them happy. Elvis Presley, they said he had something like 10 or 11 Cadillacs. If he liked you, he'd give you a Cadillac. They said that when Elvis wanted to go shopping over there in Memphis, Tennessee, they would close the entire mall down. Security would be there and let him have the entire mall just to go in there and do a little shopping. You say, wouldn't that be wonderful? Evidently, it must not be too wonderful because he popped his body so full of so many drugs that's why he died at 42 years of age. Elvis found out that money will not satisfy you. And I heard Elvis Presley's half-brother, that guy, I forgot his name, he's a Christian. And that guy was giving a testimony. And he said he talked to Elvis. And he said Elvis knew that the right way was serving God and doing right. And his money wouldn't satisfy him. I want to tell you, money will not satisfy you. Money never made a man happy. I don't care how much you got. It will not make you happy. I want to tell you something else. Education won't. You know, the God of this generation is education. People think, go to school. What we need is education. The reason we have crime is because these people are raised in streets and in ghettos and they don't know no better. And so let's educate them. Let me tell you something. Some of the wickedest people in the world are educated people. There's nothing wrong with education, but education will not satisfy you. You've got to keep it in perspective. You've got to keep your priorities straight. Education without salvation is damnation. There are going to come a time in your life when all the education in the world will not satisfy you. There will come a time in your life when you'll lay down at night, and I don't care how much money you've got, how many friends you think you got, how many cars you've got, or how smart you are, there'll be a big hole down here in your heart saying, crying out, saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And thank God they are more. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you what, I like that illustration. I heard that time where there's years ago when they run them ferry boats across the Mississippi River. An old black fella was running this ferry boat and he was in charge of it. And you'd pay him so much and you'd get on the ferry boat and ride across. And one day this real educated guy got on the ferry boat. And so they started out across the ferry, the water, and he began to talk to him. He began to talk to this old, uneducated black man. And he said, hey man, you know anything about science? Let's discuss the modern technology of science. And the old black fellow said, no, sir, boss. He don't know nothing about no science project. He don't have no education, don't know nothing about no science. It's been years and years ago. The old fellow didn't know much. He said, I don't know nothing about no science. He said, okay, man, you missed half your life. You missed half your life. Man, you don't know nothing about science. What's wrong with you? You don't know nothing about science. You missed half your life. We went a little bit further. He said, well, let's talk about history. You know anything about history? That old fellow said, no, sir, boss. Me don't know nothing about no history. Said, me, I never did go to school. I had no education. Me don't know nothing about no history. And that man said, man, you done missed half your life. You don't know history books. You can't discuss history. You've missed half your life. What's wrong with you? A little bit further on. He wanted to talk about math and equations and geometry and trig, you know, and stuff like that. He said, no, sir, boss. Me don't know nothing about no math project. He said, I don't have no education. No. And that guy said, man, you ain't no use talking to you. You missed half your life. You missed half your life. Don't know nothing about that stuff. They went on. Nobody said nothing for a little while. A few minutes later, that black man turned to that educated man and said, "Boss, can you swim?" He said, "No, I've been spent all my time in school and learning." And all, he said, "I never did learn." And he said, "Well, you've done lost all your life because this here boat sprung a leak and we're going to the bottom." And I want to tell you what, buddy, there's some things come along that education can't take care of. Ain't that right? There's going to be a time in your life when only God can help you. All education, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how smart you are. Education will not satisfy. Let me show you something else. Relationships. That's the term nowadays. I use that term, what everybody says. People used to grow up, fall in love, get married. Now it's, quote, relationships. Well, I'm not in a relationship right now. Whatever in the world that's supposed to mean. That's the modern day term. I want to tell you something, buddy. You know why them Hollywood movie stars swap them so much? Because a person can't satisfy you. And that's what a lot of people think. They say, "Wow, man, there's the most beautiful woman I ever seen in my life. If I had her, if she would only marry me, I would never want anything else if I just had her." That's the way most boys think. Girls too. They think, "Oh, I just love him. He's so good looking. If I could marry him, I'd never want nothing else at all in my life." Well, how come them other ones was so miserable with that same person that you think would satisfy you? There ain't no person in this world walking around on this earth that's going to satisfy what's longing inside. You say, "Buddy, I'd sure like to have her." Yeah, if you knew what a grouch she was. Amen. Pretty women, buddy, you got to watch out for. Amen, boys. They're wicked. That's right. I mean, they'll ruin you. Man, they'll ruin you. That's the root of all evil. Women. I heard the preacher tell a story the other day. I'm just kidding, ladies. Calm down. Just kidding. Heard the preacher tell the other day, this is not to make fun of nobody. It's a funny story, it really is. But it's not making fun. He said he had this real ugly wife, this guy did. He said his wife was horrible looking. I was talking about up here the other night. And he said he's coming down a mountain from Asheville down through there. And he's coming down through there, and this guy, a cop stopped him. And the cop stopped him out there, and he said, his wife's sitting in the back. She couldn't hear neither. And she's real ugly back there. And his cop stopped him. He said, "Sir, can I see your driver's license?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And she hollered in the back and said, "What'd he say?" And she said, "He wants to see my driver's license." So he got him out and gave it to her. And the guy said, "Oh, you're from Asheville, sir." And he said, "That's right. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina." And she said, "What'd he say?" He turned around and he said, he said, "Oh, where we're from." And I said, "Asheville." And so they went on and talked a little bit. And he said, "Well, yeah." And everything he'd say, she'd holler out, "What do you want? What do you want?" And this guy finally, the cop said, "You know something?" He said, "I used to live in Asheville." And he said, "The funniest thing happened to me one time." He said, "I was on this blind date." And he said, "They set me up with the ugliest woman that I've ever seen in my life." He said, "She's horrible looking. I mean, she had hair all over her legs. She didn't have no teeth. I mean, her breath stunk. I mean, it was horrible. I couldn't stand it." She's in the back seat and said, "What did he say?" The guy turned around and said, "Said he thinks he knows you." I don't know if that's true or not. That's awful, isn't it? I'll tell you one thing, brother. There ain't no woman will satisfy you. That's all. That guy said his wife came up to him one time. She said, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" He said, "No, your hips do." That's right, ain't it? That's right. It ain't the dress. It ain't the dress, honey. Let me tell you another thing this guy said, and I'll get on the message. This is awful. You ever heard of Bobby Grubbs? How many of you ever heard of Bobby Grubbs? Used to be a great big preacher. He weighed about 300 or 400 pounds. Miss Parker, I think he's dead and gone now, but they said that this is an awful thing. It's got nothing to do with what I'm preaching on, but I just want to tell it to you. Bobby Grubbs, they said Bobby Grubbs, this girl, they had a funeral, and this woman's dad passed away, and she called Brother Bobby, and this is supposed to really happen. She said, "Brother Bobby," she said, "my daddy wants you to preach his funeral." Said, "Daddy would have nobody to preach his funeral but you, Brother Bobby." Said, "Can you possibly do it?" He said, "Now, ma'am," he said, "I had a little sore throat," and said, "I don't know how good I can talk, but," He said, I'll give it a try. She said, it'd mean the world to us. Said, Daddy would have wanted you to preach his funeral. He said, all right, I'll try to be there. And they got the funeral home, you know, and everything. And she said, preacher, said, Daddy wants you to sing his favorite song at the funeral. And he said, no, ma'am, I can't sing. I got a sore throat. She said, but preacher, it means so much to Daddy. He thought the world of you. Said, preacher, Daddy wants you to sing his song. Will you do it for Daddy? You know, at a funeral like that, you try to accommodate the family and do whatever they asked. He said, if that's what make, you know, you think your daddy'd want, I'd be glad to try. And so she said, what is it? They went over and asked some of the relatives. They come back on a little piece of paper, gave it to him, and said, he looked at it and it said, Jingle Bells. He looked at that and he thought, Lord have mercy, Jingle Bells. He said, I can't. He said, oh, preacher, that's Daddy's favorite song. Would you do it for Daddy? Would you do it for... He finally said, all right, I'll do it. And all the next 2 days, he worried, how in the world am I going to sing Jingle Bells at a man's funeral? He said, I can't. How am I going to work at it? He said, it's going to sound stupid. He thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I believe I'll wait till we go out to the gravesite. And you know, when they hold a lot of people out there, you know, as many of them, I'll try to work it in there somehow. So they had a funeral service, went out to the graveside, and they was getting ready to lower the man in the ground, man. And he said, this is going to sound stupid, but he just stood there and said, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. I don't know if I could have done that. Lowering the guy down the ground, man. Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is. He said people started looking at him kind of funny. And they come up to him. He said, I took things over. Nobody even look at him. Nobody speak to him. And a woman came up to him. She said, oh, preacher, we've made a terrible mistake. She said, that wasn't Daddy's favorite song. So they didn't know how to write. It was when they ring those golden bells for you and me. Boy, that would be horrible. What if you'd have done something like that? You know that song, when they ring those golden bells for you? That's what she wanted to say. That's awful. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. What I was talking about is nothing like that can satisfy you. Nothing like that can satisfy you. A new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, trip to the mountains, the beach, and all that. Hey, there's plenty of people right now cannot wait to Easter week. And they think, well, I hope the weather's pretty. I'm going to the beach, and I'm going to have fun. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to blow your money and wind up getting in a fuss down there. You know why? Because it won't make you happy. Won't make you happy. I tell you what, I like the little song that says, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Listen, I can be happy tonight. Whether I'm, quote, in a relationship or not. Whether I'm, quote, have any money or not. Whether I'm, quote, got any clothes or a car or whatever. I can be happy if I'm right with the Lord. So can you. Then there's the drug and alcohol scene. Over 10 million alcoholics in America tonight. You know what that stuff does? It looks mighty good when they put it on TV. And I told some of our young people, I said, kids, you better look and you better listen. I don't know if you've ever lived with an alcoholic. I hope you hadn't had to. Y'all know my dad was an alcoholic before he got saved. Daddy drunk a long time. And you know what I saw over the years? I saw it start taking over more and more and more of his life. See, the reason what makes alcohol so dangerous is because it gets you so slow. You don't get hooked at it like you do crack or something, you know, just one time. It just little by little by little, you don't realize it's just getting your whole life. And the first thing you know, you can't go a day without a drink. And the next thing you know, you're thinking about it. And if you ain't got it, it messes up your whole day. And you get grouchy and hateful and nervous. And the only time you feel right is when you're under the influence of alcohol. Listen, that's the most dangerous thing in America tonight is alcohol, brother. It's killing our nation. It's killing our teenagers. It's killing. Listen, tell them, you younger men and grown ladies, man, tell these young people. You don't even have to try it. Say no. Leave it alone. They'll teach teetotaler. Just leave it alone. Stay away from it. It won't make you happy. It makes that empty hole bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I wish you could go see on the streets of California. I've seen them in Atlanta, and I've seen them in Knoxville, and I've talked to them in Asheville with their necks all red and their eyes bloodshot and their clothes with holes in them. And everything they make goes into a bottle down their throat. I've seen my daddy passed out drunk in bed before. Not eat anything for about a week. And the bill collector's calling. The Clinchville Mill down here calling, wondering where he's at. And I seen Mom had to lock that door. It goes down the basement so he wouldn't fall down there and kill himself tonight. And I remember going in there when my daddy was passed out in the bed and putting my hands right here on his ankle where he's too drunk to even know I was in there. And I remember bowing my head and I said, God, please don't let daddy go to hell. God, please don't let him die like this. It's awful. Do you know what it's like to find cigarette burns in the carpet? Little burn places all over the carpet and afraid at night the house is going to catch on fire. You know what it's like to come in and not knowing if they're going to be there. And you know, do you know what it's like to have bootleggers take all their money? See, when they go to the Moose Lodge or somewhere and gamble and get drunk, they don't know how much they're spending. They don't know where their money goes. They don't know. I'm going to tell you, young people, if you got that much sense, don't you believe them stupid beer commercials on a football game. That's a lie out of hell. They'll show somebody with muscles that big and with a big beer can and a pretty girl. That ain't the way it ends, kids. That ain't the way it ends. That's only the front door. Let me show you the back door. Back door is them down there in Broughton somewhere with their hands trembling like this and can't even hold a cup of coffee. The back door, brother's losing their job. The back door's wrapped around a tree somewhere with their blood on the highway and their guts all over the place. The back door is them screaming in hell. Alcohol is a murderous weapon of the devil. It won't satisfy you. It'll make you more unsatisfied. Drugs are the same way. Horrible scene. Horrible scene. Heard about a young man that got on some angel dust. And he killed his mother. Killed his mother. And when he finally come, the effects of the drug wore off him, he's in jail. He didn't even know why he was there. How'd you like to wake up one morning in prison for murdering your mother and didn't even know you did it? I'll never forget Brother Ralph Saxon telling about how he's cousin was on drugs real bad and he got on a bunch of LSD and stuff, and one day he called him and said, Ralph, you better come. And Ralph went over there and he had locked himself in his room and he went crazy and lost his mind, and he's listening to a tape player and that guy was taking a knife cutting his teeth out, just cutting down into his gum, blood all over the place, cutting his teeth out one at a time with a sharp knife. And Ralph said, what's wrong? That Alice told me to do it. Alan is listening to Alice Cooper on a tape player. You know what that boy tell me one time? This boy got saved and was called to preach. He told me before he got saved, right up here on Buck Creek. He said he's laying there, he's all messed up on drugs and alcohol and stuff or something like that. He's sniffing gas and everything else. And he said he's laying there one day on the couch and he's listening to his tape player. And he said he heard somebody come up in the front yard and come and knocked on the door. And he said he started to get up and answer the door, and the tape player spoke and said, don't answer the door. And he laid back down. And he said in a minute, it knocked again. And the voice spoke through the tape player again and said, don't do it. You say, oh, preacher, he's just drunk and didn't know it. Now, let me tell you what happened. You know what drugs do? Drugs and alcohol, they open another little door in your head. And you know what goes in there? Demons. The way to get demon possessed is get into a passive, I don't care, kick it neutral, like kicking your brain in neutral. And that's how demons get in people. And he said, that boy said, and it was like the Lord knocking, saying, let me in. And he said, no, go away. And he said, that thing went away. Jesus said in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And the only way you'll let Him in is to realize that the things of this world will never satisfy you. Never will. You know what drugs will do? You can go away up high and feel good, but you've always got to come back down. And let me tell you something else they don't tell you on MTV. It's like here's normal, right? And when you put drugs or alcohol in your body, you go up here, you get high. But when it wears off, you don't come back down to here and stop. You go way down here somewhere. And you're this far below normal. You have to have more just to get up to normal. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil to get you hooked. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. I believe there's somebody here tonight that deep down inside your soul, you know that Jesus Christ is right and you're wrong. And you say, well, if I got saved, I'd have to quit this and I'd have to quit that and I'd have to quit this. Listen, man, all God wants to take away from you is what's going to kill you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you tonight. He's not your enemy. He is not your enemy. The Lord wants to help you. We have people saved here this morning. We can have people saved here again tonight. If you'll just believe, Jesus can satisfy you. You heard these men up here. Listen to them. They done been down that road. Some of you's going down. And they, by the grace of God, they got out of it. You may not be that lucky. You may wind up killed. My advice, get it right with the Lord tonight while you have a chance. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. No one talking. No one moving. Slowly. Softly. She's going to play. Amen. God's speaking to your heart tonight. Is He? Every person in this church tonight would say, Brother Danny, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that. I know where real happiness is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, if you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If I died right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. You just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Take it right back down. Don't lie. Don't lie. Nobody's looking. God bless you. God bless you. You can put them down. I couldn't see all the hands here tonight, but I believe there were some that could not be lifted. I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. You're at the right place. You're not here by accident. God's brought you here tonight. Christians, I want you to pray. If there's someone here tonight, you know you've been saved and you just backslid. You just backslid. You need to come and really get your heart right, get satisfied here tonight. You need to come to this altar. If you're a young person here tonight going down the wrong road, believing the lies of the devil, it will not make you happy. You're going to have just one problem and trouble right after another till you really get right with God. You're so stubborn, nobody can't tell you nothing. You just say, well, I'm going to do what I want to. I don't care what nobody says. Yeah, it looks like you'd have a little sense, you know. I mean, that's what God gave you a brain for. Look what's happened to other people that went down that road. They're dead. They're down here in that prison tonight. Some of them's already dead. Some of them's in hell. God loves you tonight. And He wants to help you. Some's already come to the altar tonight. Maybe there's others. Maybe there's others. My friend, I'm going to ask you to take the biggest step you ever took in your life. The biggest step you ever took in your life is taking that step out of that seat and coming to this altar and getting your heart right with God. You can do it. We have people do it. We've already had people come tonight. Come on. Come on. Just come on.
God's speaking to your heart. Father, do what ought to be done. Grant your presence and your spirit here this evening by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, please. May Holy Ghost conviction come upon that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Do it, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.